Welcome back into the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia. It is Buffalo Bills training camp live from St. John Fisher University. We welcome in 13 Wham Sports and Buffalo Plus. Dan Fates in the Sports Bar, who was asking me for money before we got on the air. I know you just went to the American Doll store.
Yes.
I'm sympathetic. I'll help out. I've been there. We've all been there as girl dads. You've got a lot of work to do, pal.
Yeah, that
Three
hit me.
Daughters.
Yeah, that hit me after the fact of realizing I probably need to sell a kidney for my daughter's passion for American Girl dolls. And then my wife was like, by the way, you know we have two more girls coming up.
Yeah.
So hopefully this will all just get passed down, just like clothes and pajamas for everything else.
Dan, you work in television, but what is it like when the cameras now are on you?
It was surreal. Having Brandon be in the patio the last 2 years on Mike's patio has been really cool. To get that kind of environment, it's different. To get players, personnel in a podcast laid back more setting than at a press conference. And then we had known the director of Hard Knocks is a Penfield native. So we had kind of touched base with him, and there was the thought about, hey, maybe Hard Knocks would come to the podcast with Bean on the patio. We had heard they wanted to just tap into the audio, so we thought maybe there'd be one audio guy, and all of a sudden seven guys in blue shirts with NFL films come rolling in, and they mic us up as well. So it was pretty cool to be in that experience, to be filmed by not your TV station, and let alone to have it be NFL Films, was by far one of the coolest experiences of my professional career. And that, you know, credit to Bean, credit to them. And like I said, it's NFL Films. It's pretty surreal.
Did you learn anything from that laid-back conversation with Brandon Bean other than Josh Allen has progressed in his golf game?
Yes.
Much like he has in his,
yes,
in his NFL career?
I thought he had a pretty cool perspective on the way that he tries not to make rash decisions. I kind of asked him what has changed over the last 9 years, and in his game day routine of taking notes constantly and sitting there next to Terry, and he understands the fans' frustration and anger. He doesn't shy away from knowing the heartache that this team has had the last few years of coming so close, but he's like, it just because the ball gets intercepted or you come up a yard short or the field goal goes wide, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you tear everything down like a lot of fans or Braves fans would want to say about their team. So he has that perspective, which I thought was really cool. And the relationship he's had with Josh, how that's grown, you know, now Josh can kind of call him and say, hey, like, by the way, I talked to this guy, you know, he'd be interested in coming. And he's like, he gets to have his two cents. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to, you know, do it. But he understands the dynamic of what the team needs now more than when he was in his second or third year. All that was really cool. And then his relationship with Sean, of there are plenty of times he says they don't agree on something, but they keep it in behind closed doors. They don't do it, you know, in front of anybody. And that they ultimately know at the end of the day, the decision they're making, whether it's Brandon or Sean's, is that it's in the best interest for the Buffalo Bills.
You know, not only that, Dan Fates, 13 win Buffalo Plus. About Josh Allen, you don't see Josh Allen in it, because,
no,
like, I would say, some would say he's got the most power in this organization.
Yeah.
It's not Bean or it's not McDermott.
Yeah, so that's what I kind of wanted to feel out was how has that relationship changed from, you know, did he call you? He's like, he joked around. He's like, early on, he called me Mr. Bean. And he's like, that's my dad. Like, just call me Bean. Like this is what the relationship is and how it's grown. And I do say, like, one of the best things about Josh outside of the play is his self-awareness. Whether it's off the field or on the field, he understands how to handle the media, not to take himself too seriously, knows what not to say into a microphone. Like, all of those things make you the franchise quarterback and the face of the league, which I think is so telling. And that's where I think the relationship has come along with Brandon, with Sean, the tutelage that it was with Daboll, and all of those things have, you know, kind of made this perfect recipe for a MVP quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, even details, small details.
Yeah.
Taking your hat off before signing for the troops. I mean, impossible not to like this guy, right? It, around the league, if anybody has anything ill to say about Josh Allen, I want to know who that person is.
Right. You may not like him because you're a Chiefs fan or you're a Dolphins fan. I get that. But the person that is Josh Allen that we have seen, whether he knows the cameras are rolling or not, he has been just everything that you could ask for in a franchise quarterback, and that's such a testament to him, the way that he's been brought up through the media. Like, again, he was this project, and now it just seems to be this complete quarterback that has changed the Bills franchise in ways. We were just talking about it during practice today. Like, the worst thing that happened to Anthony Richardson was Josh Allen. Because it's any big quarterback that's raw. It's like, well, look at what Josh Allen is. Josh Allen's a unicorn. He's one of one. There's not going to be another Josh Allen. And that awareness of him, whether it's in the media, on the field, the way that he's changed his game from, oh, he has too many turnovers. Well, now he doesn't have any turnovers. And the way that his game has evolved, I think, has been just so cool to watch.
I also think, though, you know, yes, he is unique. He's a unicorn. But a lot of what got him to where he is self-imposed. He worked harder than I think a lot of people worked. He studied the details. He worked in the offseason. He does the extra things. Yeah. And I know a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL don't have the capacity to do or just don't have the mental will to do. I think a lot of that is on Josh Allen, the competitor.
The person he is. And whether it's, you know, it's well documented, the no-star recruit, the, you know, having to go to junior college, the Wyoming route, but all those things. And he just, like I said, goes back to the self-awareness. Like, he talks about his golf game, like changing his swing and being that. I always talked about it, like that difference. Trent Dilfer always talked about the difference between great quarterbacks is some are surgeons and some are butchers. They have really sharp weapons. One uses a machete and you get a pastrami sandwich at the end of it. The other one uses a scalpel and they can save your life. Josh went from that butcher, the highlight reel, the sizzle, all of those things, jumping over linebackers, to now being able to pick you apart. Oh, and by the way, he can also still jump over a linebacker. It's that perfect balance that, to me, has been so incredible to watch over the years, where it's like he can still always put on that Superman cape, but he's learning to take the easy ones when he has to and can.
One more thought on Josh here. Your thoughts on his self-awareness here. He's married now to a woman some would say is just as famous as him. Some might argue more famous. And the fact that, okay, hey, we're just curious about the wedding and football.
Yeah.
Football. Yeah. Like, he knows not to get baited into anything.
He knows how to, you know, where the cameras are. And again, that's where I give the testament. And Bean talked about it. It doesn't matter if he's at a hospital signing autographs for an elder, you know, a veteran signing autographs for kids, the way he handles all of this. I mean, he would sign forever. They have to blow the horn here for him because it's just so much. But all of that stuff, I just think, is such a testament of. And Bean talked about it too, because I was asking Brandon about, we always ask players and coaches how they handle losses, adversity. I was like, how do you handle it? And he's like, well, you hope you have that support system at home. And Deion talked about during the season, like, Josh is happy now. Like, he's happy off the field. And when you have somebody like that, these players, these coaches, these general managers, they're not robots. They have feelings. They have bad days off the field and out of work that can sometimes drag into it. So to have that perspective, I think, from Josh is just, it's great.
Dan Fates, 13 Web Sports, Buffalo Plus, joining us in the sports bar. Dan, if there's been a storyline, I think it's injuries. And not like, hey, look, the Harrison news was as good news as we could have hoped for yesterday. It's not ideal, but there are little nagging injuries, soft tissue injuries, lots of players that are not participating because of those injuries. We haven't seen anything like that here at camp at Fisher. I mean, I know there's always injuries, but it feels like there's more this year than we've seen in the past.
It definitely feels like it. I'm not exactly sure, just because of the way that some guys are getting rest days and some guys, and like I said, I thought the one day that Dalton Kincaid was kept out, it was the knee soreness, and I was like, that's not good. But that was the first day in pads, and it was a heavy run day. So I was like, oh, that makes sense. The next day they did more third and longs, and he was in there. And it's like, okay, you don't need Dalton Kincaid with a sore-ish knee slamming into linemen and linebackers if you don't need to. So I think a lot of this, too, is management.
Yeah.
I don't like seeing Curtis Samuel not being able to get on the field, because that was kind of his story last year. And when he was on the field towards the end of the season, it was really good. The fourth down touchdown catch in Kansas City, the game he had against Denver in the playoffs, that was all arrows pointing up. And it stinks, though, because you're looking at some of these guys. I'm writing down on my notepad 82, 89, 32 that are lining up at wide receiver with Josh because I don't know their names. And I'm like, these aren't the best reps that I really want to be seeing.
Well, stepping up is, and I think another storyline is two veterans that I think week one went as well as you could have hoped for, Matt Milano and Tre'Davious White. Your thoughts on where they are here as we head to August?
Yeah, Milano looks good, and they talked about the fact that he had a full offseason of recovery and not having to rehab and just being able to train and get his body right is massive. Trey White's the most interesting one because I thought, well, if Trey's cornerback three, you can do a lot worse than that. And at minicamp, you were like, I don't know what's left on, how much tread's left on the tires. He's looked fresh. And talking to him, he's like, he had some colorful words, which I thought was very interesting for Trey White. But he said that, like, this was the first offseason in a long time that he also wasn't rehabbing an injury. And it wasn't just a lingering shoulder. It's an ACL and an Achilles, like massive recovery. So he seems like he's on a mission. I don't know if it's the way that the crowd has given him new juice being back here at Fisher with Bills Mafia. Like, he seems to have elevated his game to where he doesn't look like all-pro Trey anymore, but he looks like a guy that can be a viable starter as we stand here right now on July 30th.
Dan, what have you seen from the defensive line and all the new names and faces that we have there?
Man, TJ Sanders could get the second most reps at defensive tackle this year. Like, he just looks like Ed Oliver, if you just pulled Ed Oliver a little bit taller. Like, he seems to have that penetration ability that Ed has with a little bit more size. And then if you want to talk about more size, you talk about Deion Walker, who just looks like a massive human being. And to hear Ed talk about him like a dancing bear, and he's a big guy on ballerina legs. Like, all of these things, it's the reason why I was cautiously optimistic going into this training camp was because they didn't just run it back. They didn't just run it back with Dwayne Smoot and Von Miller and like, oh, these guys will be better. No, they went out and got new things. So there's that level of excitement. I'm not saying they're all going to pan out, but it looks like they got some guys that can play. And then Javon Solomon looks like he's taking a step up. Bobby Babich talked about him today. Looks like a guy that just understands more about the system. And in another year in the league, they talk about rookies that first year, you're kind of drinking from a fire hose. And Solomon provides something that's different than the big guys on the outside and Greg Rousseau and Joey Bosa. He's more of that speed, bend, edge guy that can also have an impact.
Yeah, the one area, too, where we were kind of wondering, all right, you know Taylor Rapp is one of the stars. Cole Bishop not on the field today.
Man.
Boy, Dan, is anybody else going to step up and put their hand up here, do you think?
I think DeMar Hamlin's had a fine camp. I think I talked to you guys this time last year. I was like, DeMar's going to be a starter. And I was like, no, it's going to be Cole. And I was like, he's missing time. We're having these same conversations again. In this, he missed some of the end of minicamp. I believe it was like a hip or something with him. Now it's a quad injury that's popped up. The good thing, I know you guys have talked about Harrison a lot. Like, it is a little bit of that sigh of relief of, okay, it's not an ACL tear, but he's still going to miss all this valuable time. And while they said that Cole, the reason that Cole, they're excited about him was because he was going to get a full training camp. And he's currently not getting a full training camp. So that's where you look at Harrison and say, he's still missing valuable time. But you hope that Cole gets that valuable time. And again, it's another time where he's not in it. I saw DeMar shut down Dalton Kincaid in a red zone drill today. I thought was really good. So you can do worse than DeMar Hamlin as your third safety. I know a lot of people, he gets unnecessary hate for some of it. But I think he's a fine, serviceable safety in case of emergency. And if DeMar Hamlin starts this year, it's because Cole Bishop lost the job. It's not because DeMar Hamlin won it.
What about Derek Forrest? Kind of an unknown, right?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. It's kind of like when Mike Edwards came into camp last year. Now, Edwards was banged up with a back injury and stuff like that. Like, he never really panned out. But I'll be honest, too. This camp, it's funny. It's not boring, but there are a lot of times when after the ones are done, that's when you kind of look down at your phone because there's not really battles. Like,
no.
Once Hairston's done or Keon's not up, I kind of sit back and go like, all right, like, what else is going on Twitter today? Like, kind of things like that. So that's when I've noticed, like, Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi getting more runs with the twos because that makes sense. They're not going to play the first six games. So you have plans for some of these things. I haven't noticed Forrest a lot. I'll also admit I haven't been looking out for him all that much.
Yeah. One guy I'm really curious is I'm already looking ahead to next week if I can break the seal here. Dorian Strong.
Love him.
I want to see how this looks against a real NFL wide receiver.
Though. He got beat on one play. Deion Kane beat him deep. Mitch Trubisky put everything he had into a football, and Deion Kane ran by Dorian Strong. But Dorian Strong, what we heard about him and what we're kind of hearing from – you know, some people is just that, like, he's having a really good camp. And I remember being at rookie minicamp, it was Dorian and Maxwell doing reps, and they were the ones pushing one another. And he's a kind of a guy that could be a Christian Benford-like. It was the one that took – I'm not saying he's going to take reps away from Max Harrison, but it's just one of those things where you're like, oh, everybody's focused on Kyrie and Max, the first-round picks. And look over here. These sixth-round picks are slowly stacking good days on top of good days. That was my super hot take where I was like, Dorian Strong's going to find a way to get himself on the field by the end of training camp. Like, he's just going to be one of those players, like Christian Benford was, where you're like, he just does everything right. Now, again, raw – but he has a lot of snaps. He fits McDermott's and Bobby Babich's mold of a defense and being smart and knowledgeable. So he's one of the guys I'm really excited about, too.
Dan, because you mentioned Trubisky, it just triggered in my head. Like, that is a camp battle. Yeah. Backup quarterback. I mean, these are first-world problems, but how do you see the performance between Trubisky and White? How do you see this all playing out?
I know what Mitch Trubisky is. I'm fine with it. I don't really need to see much. I don't really want to see much. Mike White's the unknown. I never understood why when he was on the practice squad, another team, Miami didn't bring him back because there were a lot of bad quarterbacks, a lot of bad backups that I thought Mike White has shown enough at moments to get a shot. He's had an up-and-down camp, thrown a few interceptions, but I still like the way that he throws the ball, and I think he has a little bit more ability to make plays. I think you know with Mitch, you're not going to make bad plays, but I don't really see what Mitch – can do at this point either. By the way, sweet gig to be Josh's best friend, to be buddies with Josh Allen. You have it's like when LeBron would just carry all of his buddies to like the NBA finals. If you're Josh Allen's friend, you have a job for the next 7 to 8 years.
Another first world problem, kick returner.
Yeah.
I mean, Cogrington, I'm looking him out there, and they have to put him somewhere as defensive back. I'm like, he doesn't really look like a corner.
No.
Can they afford a luxury like that, do you think?
I'm wondering how the special teams pans out because that's a big hole with Mac Hollins. So how many corners do you keep? How many wide receivers do you have on game day? Where does that kind of fit in? Is it Laviska Shenault? Is he going to squeak on as this return guy? I'm not really sure. And then you always have the punt catcher in Khalil Shakir to be as an emergency. So I liked what Codrington brought. I don't know if it was enough. And I also – Cordell Patterson got released a day or two ago. I don't know if he's landed anywhere else, but he's a guy that's worked, I guess, with Chris Traber before. Mm. If the Bills aren't pleased with any of these things, you know that the Swiss Army knife that is Cordell Patterson could be. I mean, I know we always say this when a guy becomes available. Think about Buffalo. What about Buffalo? But he could fit maybe in Buffalo.
You don't see them doing anything at corner with the Harrison injury, right? I mean, we were speculating, and when we were fearing the worst, starting to speculate, okay, who could they bring in? And just so happens that Rasul Douglas is still out there.
Stephon Gilmore
is still out there. Like, there's still a couple of names out there.
I don't think so. I think that, Dane's still been there. And Jamarcus Ingram's a guy that I think some people talk about him being on the roster bubble. I'd be shocked if he wasn't on this team. He had a really good camp last year and has kind of been the forgotten guy this year. And I understand they drafted two corners over him. But I remember last year, like, Jamarcus Ingram being the long physical corner that gave Keon problems. And you were like, he's got length, UB guy, all this stuff. And then he played a ton on special teams. So I think there is a spot there. So if you're looking at Trey, Benford, Dane, Ingram, and then you kind of rotate in, Dorian Strong there as well. So I think they're okay depth-wise, but they do need some guys to remain healthy through the rest of training camp because otherwise they're going to have, like the offense with all the wide receivers, down 82, 89, and 32.
So I don't know if it's you or Jenna shooting tomorrow night the blue and the red scrimmage. You got to get there in time to see what helmet Josh Allen comes out with. What are we down to? Zubaz at this point?
Yeah, it's got to be a red helmet. Like I said, he's done that with the blue visor and stuff like that. That is one of a cool experience again. And I think people don't appreciate this sometimes as much as, like, that's all you would get. Like, if they moved training camp away from Rochester, you'd get, like, practice. And to have the access and the ability and the days to sign all Josh – to sign all the autographs. It's a really cool experience. It's crazy how many people show up for a practice at a stadium there. I think it will be special because it'll be the last blue and red scrimmage at Highmark Stadium. But I'm sure Josh will have something special.
Well, Dan, I know we don't take it for granted. I know you feel the same way. The coverage you guys are doing is fantastic. Let everybody know about where they can get more Buffalo Plus coverage of Buffalo Bills training camp.
Yeah, Buffalo Plus YouTube channel is kind of where we've been doing daily recaps after every practice. Jenna and I just shot one today. The sit-down with Brandon Bean also on there. Again, one of the coolest podcasts that we get to do. Add in that Hard Knocks was there. Pretty surreal thing. So go check that out.
What's it like not watching baseball?
It's free. It's exhilarating. And if Acuna has any Achilles problems, I want the entire front office fired.
We actually brought you up yesterday because I actually think I broached it with you. Like, hey, are you in the – and you were kind of moving your head back and forth thinking, do the Braves move Acuna? Let's be real.
If I'm a Braves fan, I don't want to lose that guy. That guy's electric.
When I was down really bad. And I thought about what you could get if you traded Acuna. And I talked to Brandon Bean about this, and he's like, it'd be like trading Josh Allen. You don't trade Josh Allen. You don't trade Ronald Acuna. But if he had an Achilles soreness and they ran him out there the next day and then something major happened to his Achilles, I've got big problems.
Yeah. Dan, thanks
baseball
for the time.
Doesn't exist. Yeah. It's very free.
It's football season.
Yeah, I get to spend more time with my kids. It's great.
Thank you, Dan.